It indeed is a wondrous story and old, and we will reflect back on that today. The story of one who left ivory palaces to come here and walk among us. I'm going to talk about intersections this morning. Around here, out in the country, every mile, at least, there's an intersection. If you live in town, every block, there's an intersection. There's crossroads just everywhere. You're not going to go far before you have to look another direction and see if something's coming your way. I'd like to look at intersections that people had with Jesus, particularly one this morning. If you care to turn to Luke chapter 7, that will be our text, and we will study from that section. Jesus had recently finished his Sermon on the Mount. He was preaching in Galilee and the area around the Sea of Galilee, and had often gone up to Capernaum and would go down along usually the west side of the sea and in cities and villages around there and preach. And he'd been up in Capernaum and had healed the slave of a Roman officer. And he was leaving there and was traveling down and had come to the city of Nain. Nain is about 20 miles southeast of Capernaum. And so they had traveled down that direction as he was preaching in that area. And there was a large crowd with him. People that perhaps had heard the sermon that he had given. And as you study that account, it said that they were amazed at his teaching because it wasn't like anyone else that they'd ever heard, and they followed after him. And then perhaps they had witnessed this healing of this servant, and so there's more that are with him, and they travel never knowing what's going to happen in the next city, never knowing what feat that Jesus would perform, what miracle that would happen. And so there's groups that are with him, his apostles are with him, and those who had been following, some of those women who were there. So there's this large group going, and in verse 11 begins that they came to a city called Nain. And two crowds intersect. This crowd that's following Jesus that is excited, and they're probably talking, and you know, everything's going on about, boy, what's going to happen next? And were you there? Did you see him save the servant? Did you hear his teachings? Have you been around? How long have you been following Jesus? Just all kinds of just noise going on in this crowd. And they meet another crowd. A much more solemn crowd. Because it's a funeral. You're driving down the bypass and it's busy and there's all kinds of noise and distractions and things going on, and you get near one of the funeral homes and you see the lights. You see the little flags on the cars and you understand what's happening and you pause. And out of respect, you stop for this group that's going by to honor one who has died and to bury them. And so I can't help but imagine that the crowd with Jesus, pretty soon the word gets back through even to the back and they all become quiet because there's another crowd that they've intersected with, they've come across. And I'm sure that it doesn't take long for them to realize that this is a funeral procession, and that's what they see, and they pause. But Jesus sees more than that. In verse 12 it says, as he approached the gate of a city, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a sizable crowd from the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he felt compassion for her and said, do not weep. I don't know if she'd ever met Jesus before. I don't know if she had any idea who he was. But imagine funeral procession and your son has just died and you're a widow, you have no one else, and a man comes up to you and says, don't cry. I'm sure at this point Luke doesn't know, or the disciples don't know everything that's going on here, but Jesus knew this woman. He saw her and had compassion for her. If Jesus had not been in a crowd, perhaps that first crowd would have just stopped and paused and let them go by and then gone on their way. But Jesus was in this crowd. And he comes up and he touches the coffin. And those carrying it stop. And evidently it's not a covered casket, because he says, young man, I say to you, arise. And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Wouldn't you love to know what he said? Just said he spoke. That's all Luke tells us about. Can you imagine the feelings of the mother? And as you study this, and we understand there's no life insurance policies and Social Security. This woman is a widow and now she's lost her only son. She has no means at all to care for herself except the generosity of others, and perhaps maybe there's other family or someone. We don't know how old his son is. We don't know how old that she is, if she would even be in a position to remarry or would want to, but she has nothing. Jesus did not save a life here. He saves two. Two lives intersect, never to be the same again. Think of some others who crossed paths with Jesus. A woman whose past was certainly checkered is at a well gathering some water for the day, and Jesus comes and asks her for a drink. And they begin a discussion, and she excitedly goes back to town and brings people with her and says, you've got to meet this man. And so the city of Samaria is introduced to the Savior, and a few years later, Philip will go back to that area and will preach the gospel, and these people have already been introduced to Jesus. But this intersection made an impact on these people. An adulterous woman brought before him out in a public area, cast before him by others who would wish her life taken from her. And he would have a conversation with those and then speak to her and change her life and tell her, you don't do this anymore. You don't live like this any longer. I can't imagine that she did. He's walking down another street, and there's a fella who is excited to see him. He's heard about this fella, but he's a little short fella, and so he climbs up in a tree, and I'm sure most all the children know his name and what kind of tree it was. But he climbs up in a tree to get a see this sight, and Jesus, walking along, sees him. And says, Zacchaeus, I'm going to your house today for dinner. You need to come down, get things ready. And he invites his friend. This is a man despised by most of the Jewish population. And Jesus crossed his path and the paths of many others whose lives would be changed forever. He saw broken people, sinful people, people who needed a Messiah. And those intersections were opportunities for him, and he turned them into that. And he's not here today, but that's what we are. We are his hands and his feet. We have those intersections. We have those opportunities to introduce someone to him and perhaps change their life. And you have different intersections than I do. You know people that I don't know and maybe will never know. Family or friends or co-workers. And you have opportunities to introduce them to Jesus because you see things in them that I don't see because you know their lives. And you know maybe a parent who's heartbroken because of a child who has gone away and left all that they knew. Or maybe you know a child that's losing a parent, that life will soon pass from that parent, and you understand, you know the heartache they're dealing with. You know those things. Jesus saw this woman and felt compassion because he knew what she was dealing with. He knew what Zacchaeus was dealing with. He knew what this adulterous woman had dealt with. He knows her. And he offers them an opportunity to change. And we have that opportunity today. They may refuse, but we need to take advantages of those intersections with people in our lives and see what changes that we can help them make in their lives. I'd like to look at a couple of other instances of funerals. Mark chapter 5, Jesus again in the area of Galilee comes across and lands at the shore, and a Jewish official this time comes to him, and his daughter is near death. And he asks Jesus if he can come to their home and heal his daughter because she is soon to die if no one does anything. And so they're on the way, and that begins in verse 21. It's kind of interesting. In verse 25 through 34 of that section, there's another intersection with another person, and that'll be a lesson for another day. But he changes that individual's life too. But on the way, someone comes from the house and says that your daughter has died. Don't bother the teacher any further. In verse 36, it says, Jesus, overhearing what was being spoken, said to the synagogue official, don't be afraid. Just believe. And Jesus goes to the house. And in verse 41, he takes this child by the hand and says, little girl, get up. And she did. He told this widow's son in Nain, arise, young man, and he did. In John chapter 11, he goes to the grave of Lazarus, who's been dead for some time, says, Lazarus, come forth, and he did. Until I really was studying this, I never thought about the fact Jesus never did a funeral. Never did a funeral. He did resurrections. Never preached a funeral that I know of that's recorded. When he would go to the death of someone, it wasn't there to speak a eulogy or to give comforting words or whatever. He raised those people back from the dead. I never thought about that before, but Jesus did resurrections. He didn't do funerals. And in all of these, notice, when Jesus spoke to the dead, they responded. They did exactly what he said to do. And he still speaks to us today through his word. He speaks to those that are dead in sin, as all of us were at one time, and some sitting here this morning still are. You've not responded to Jesus' request. Jesus' request to arise and be baptized and wash away your sins and walk a new life. He still speaks today. The answer is, to those of you that have not responded, why would you not do that? Not, Not one individual that we looked at this morning that had died refused to come back to life. They all responded and all came back and followed what Jesus said. And Jesus says today to those that are dead in sin, come back, come alive, get up. What are you waiting for? You probably weren't ready for that already, were you? The greatest intersection the world has ever known is you and Jesus at the cross. And the song that Dick selected here talks about coming to that cross and allowing your intersection with Jesus in your life make a difference, like it did with this widow's son, like it did with Jairus' daughter, like it did with Lazarus, like it did with Zacchaeus and the adulterous woman and the Samaritan woman. All of these people that crossed paths with Jesus, it impacted and changed their life forever. Ask about anyone in the audience here today that has been impacted by Jesus' life, who responded when he said, come to me, and they did, if that hasn't changed their life or realized where they would have been if they hadn't changed. As I mentioned, there's some here this morning that need to make a change, need to respond. Some that maybe need to think about that intersection that they had with Jesus maybe years ago and thinking, are you still on the right road? Are you still headed where you want Jesus wants you to go? Are you appreciative of that and grateful to him for that? The chorus says to kneel at the cross and leave every care there, and Jesus will meet you. The intersection's available. You're right there at it. You have the opportunity this morning. If you've not responded to Jesus and done what you should, why don't you do that right now while we stand and sing?